Please remain standing. We make our beginning this morning. Make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, though we do not deserve your goodness, still you provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading comes from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, says the Lord and the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people, you have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 2. Remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made by the flesh by hands. Remember, you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and remember and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostle and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are built together into a dwelling place by God by the Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks. The Holy Gospel for this Sunday is recorded in the book of St. Mark, the 6th chapter, and will serve as the basis for today's meditation. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to Jesus and said, 'This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away and go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered, 'You give them something to eat.' And they said to him, 'Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?' And Jesus said to them, 'How many loaves do you have? Go and see.' And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups of the grass. And so they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said, 'Blessing,' and he broke the loaves and he gave it to the disciples and set it before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them, and they all ate and were satisfied. And then they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces, full of fish and bread. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Christ. You may be seated.
Lord,
Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon each of you this day. Our text is the Gospel of St. Mark. Please open your Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30. Mark chapter 6, beginning at verse 30. This is the account of Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. And our text begins actually a little before that, if I can tell you a bit of that story, with Jesus sending out the 12 disciples to towns and villages to preach repentance and the gospel, to heal the sick and to cast out demons. Jesus would ultimately have 3 years to complete his training with his disciples, teaching them everything they needed to know and to do so that they were ready to go and to reach the world and make disciples for all generations yet to come, and that we still have to see yet to come. This was on-the-job training at its best and finest, and this was their first time to do it without Jesus. Now, they were coming back and they were telling Jesus all that they'd seen and heard if you read the account. And can you imagine as a child, you remember back when maybe you were the one who maybe had the first date that was really exciting for you. You went to prom or something like that. And you wanted to come home and you wanted to tell maybe mom or dad or your brother or your sister just how it all went. Or if you're playing baseball and you hit your first home run, what it was like. You know, those times where you just want to talk with somebody you love to tell them all that's really happened. The disciples were excited about what they had just done, what they had seen. God had used them as a vessel, as a vehicle to share the good news, to heal the sick, and for demons to be driven out at the name of Jesus. They were involved with that. And they were doing it by the authority of Christ. And they were so excited to get back with Jesus. But the crowds were coming and coming so strongly that they had no leisure, not even time to eat. And when they went away in the boat to a desolate place to be by themselves, the town that they went to was Bethsaida, a small, tiny, little, sleepy town. But many of the people who were with Jesus and saw him and the disciples going across the lake knew where that would lead. And so they went ahead and they ran ahead. And they actually got there ahead of Jesus and the disciples. And when he went ashore, Jesus saw a great crowd and he had compassion on them. Because our text says they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. You know, I find it in Christian ministry so often the case. When we're caring for someone, when we're helping with someone, when we're doing ministry, it could be offering prayers, it could be cleaning dishes, doing laundry, it could be helping out in a variety of different ways, but helping someone in their life do something that they cannot or are unable to do. And it seems like we are tired. And it seems like we've gone a long time. But Jesus was like that. But I want you to see in your Savior who he was. He was truly the Son of God, but he was still true man. It was the kindness of Christ that though all of this had been going on, he had compassion on these people. He was the one who was going to be a shepherd to sheep who were like sheep without a shepherd. And so they really had critical need for someone to care for them. And these folks didn't stop by just for a little drop-in visit. You know, they didn't say, hey, Bertha, I think, let's just get our sandals on and walk over to Bethsaida today. I hear Jesus and the disciples over there. What do you think? We go see him for a while? It was there for quite a while. In fact, it was so late that the disciples said, it's growing late. This is a desolate place, and now the hour is very late. Send them away, Jesus, to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy something to eat. Maybe to find food at a Wawa or something. Here we see the disciples coming off their own road trip, having been sent out and coming back, wanting to spend time with Jesus. But the crowd was getting in their way. And Jesus tells them, to the disciples, he said, you give them something to eat. And they said to Jesus, well, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of food and give it to them? Jesus said, no, you give them something to eat. You know, the size of the crowd did not match the quantity of the food they had at hand. 5 loaves and 2 fish, with a crowd the size of 5,000 people. Often God gives us a task, I find, in our everyday life that does not match our capacity to carry it out. I remember I spoke with a couple recently that was in a hospital, and I asked them, I said, has God ever given you more than you could just deal with yourself? Your capacity to handle it was just short, and the task was so big and so tall. Remember, they both kind of bowed their heads and didn't say a word for a moment. And tears started to well up in his eyes, and I said, well, can you tell me what happened? And the man said, I'd like to tell you the story. He said, yeah, God gave us a really tall order one time, bigger than I could handle because the doctor had said that I needed to have a surgery that's going to remove an organ in my body. But he said, I want you to have another specialist look at this. And so they went to the other. And the other gentleman said, I think we can do a different procedure. First doctor, surgery. Remove a cancerous organ. Second doctor, I think we can do a different procedure, and then let's test it. So that's what they did. They did the second procedure, leaving the bladder there, and as they went through the surgery, they put that to the side, that question. And the doctor, the second doctor, said, let's run the test. And he ran the test, and to his surprise, and the first doctor's surprise, there was no more cancer. And he looked up at me with wide eyes and he said, I'm not supposed to be alive here today, but God answered that prayer. He said, yes, God has given us things that are too big for us. We couldn't have handled that. I was a goner. His wife chimed in and told me her story. And again, she said and delivered a message of hope. And she basically said what I will share with you now, that God wanted to show them the capacity of his power and his love inside of them. He wanted to show them that he was able to hear in his prayer, their prayers, and to answer them, that he had the ability and the strength and the capacity to, even though they did not. Sometimes we just need to wait and see what God will do. And in their story, that's what he did. But sometimes I have got to admit that the story doesn't end like we would like it. We see that in our situation, the suffering just doesn't go away. And it sometimes ends up in death. But it is our Savior that we find in the storms of life. And we see his hand in our life strengthening us. We don't see that the situation is always removed. But what we see is that our Redeemer is still there with us in the worst of it all, and he strengthens us and gives us the ability, and even in death, he still gives us the victory. Isn't that what Easter's all about? The victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ over death and the grave, where the grave was swallowed up in victory by Christ's resurrection. And the sting of death was separated from us. For all who believe in their Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to the disciples, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And the crowd, the disciples went out and they said, 5 and 2 fish. And Jesus commanded them all to sit down in the groups of green grass. And so they sat down in groups of hundreds and by 50s. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing. And he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples before the people. Now there's a cartoon on Facebook that kind of gives us an accounting of what this might look like in our day and age. There's somebody in the crowd that says to the disciples as they're handing out the food, do you have anything but fish? I'm vegan. And another one of the individuals looks out and he says, from the crowd, he says, they said, I need gluten-free. Do you have gluten-free bread? And somebody else says, has that fish been tested for mercury? And so we think about all the things that we see in our world and we just kind of overlook a miracle. But I thought it was a funny cartoon for us just to think about how sometimes we focus on those things rather than the everyday miracles of life that Jesus really, really does. How many loaves do you have? 5. And 2 fish. And the people, 5,000 of them, sit down in grass. And Jesus is perhaps continuing to teach, but they're anticipating now that maybe something else is going to happen. Maybe there will be food served, the crowd's thinking. And the disciples went out, and as Jesus blessed the fish and the bread, and he set the food before the people. And they all ate and were all satisfied. And they took up the 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 people. Wow. I recall a time when a mission congregation we were serving in that we'd established had now grown to about 242 people on a Sunday. And we felt as though it was time for the congregation to really, we needed an assistant or a vicar. And as a point, we started to look at all of that and we said, I don't know if we can afford it. And there was a lot of consternation about that. But there was a movement underfoot that said, we really need this for the ministry. We really need to have that type of help. It should have happened when we were around 180, statistics tell us. But we came to a point where we said, well, let's go ahead and call a vicar for a year and see how this goes. And I remember thinking that I don't know if we have the money yet, but Lord, give us an answer that will help us decide what the right pathway forward is. On Saturday before Sunday's vote, I went to the mailbox and we found a check from a member that had moved away. It was his bonus check. And he had sent it on simply to bless us and to say, we miss you. The check was for over $10,000. Thanks be to God. Another member placed in the offering that morning a check for $32,000 to be given to the education fund and for principal of that cash-bearing account, the ability to have some funds that would be generated for ongoing vicar support should we elect to do that in years following. These two gifts gave us enough to get us over the top and for us unanimously to say we will call a vicar. It was like I was reading this text that I read for you today. You give them something to eat. I remember going to the membership and saying, I believe we need a vicar and that we need to take this step of faith to manage the cost. Like today's lesson, God blessed the effort and God provided the needed funds to take us over the top. And it didn't come till the 11th hour, I'll say that. And every one of us was surprised how God had delivered that day. But I also look at this text and as disciples. I look at it as corporately as a congregation in school. But I also take a look at it as individually, as people. People in the pews, like you and me, sitting down and thinking as we face our life. There are a couple of checkpoints. Jesus tells the disciples, knowing that they have 5 loaves and 2 fish, and they have 5,000 people, he says to them, you go give them something to eat. And of course, you remember the disciples said, do you want us to go spend 200 denarii so that we can buy bread? You know how much a denarii is? It's a day's wages. You know what that meant? It meant that nearly two-thirds of an entire year that the disciples would have to work for that to pay for that one meal. And they were asking Jesus, do you want us to spend that much? My friends, these are human answers and human reasons. And it was our Lord and our Savior who, though the disciples were coming fresh off the line of being out in the villages and the towns and were so excited about all that the Lord had allowed them to do and all the miracles they'd seen, they were seeing about to have another one. God had another lesson for them to learn. And that lesson, my friends, was that God's capacity goes beyond our capacity. His response to our situations is far different. Jesus had something more to show them. He wanted them to see that God would provide bread. In the wilderness of Israel, God provided the bread into the wilderness so that the people of with Moses could certainly get through the promised land, to the promised land, but they would not die of starvation. He wanted them now, this group of people here in this wilderness, to also see that the Son of God would provide bread that would feed them. But you see, Jesus was trying to teach them even a deeper lesson still, because it is in John 6 that Jesus tells us, and he tells the disciples, that he is the bread of life which comes down out of heaven to give life to the world. This feeding, this day, this wilderness, this event was much more about proclaiming the gospel and compassion, not just to the crowd, but especially to the disciples, to you and to me, so that we can see that Jesus is really the Savior of the world. Certainly the disciples knew the Testament, Old Testament history of God's feeding of the children in Israel and how he delivered them. But here today, they were seeing God's action, right at this moment. God's action. Jesus, the Son of God, delivering food to the children of Israel, again in this wilderness. The magnified Savior, the Messiah, was indeed the one who had come to save them. The point of this miracle wasn't just simple food or feeding. It was so that they would see that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, come down from out of heaven to feed them the words of eternal life. In a few moments, you're going to be invited to come. Like groups of 50, you're going to be invited to come up to the altar and to be fed the Word of God from this message. To be able to receive again as you hear, take and eat, this is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you. What are you receiving? The bread. And you're being fed the wine, the body and blood of Christ, in with and present underneath that. And the Lord himself is showing you again that he is the bread of life. He's feeding you. He's strengthening you for your journey. The disciples were told, you give them something to eat. They had nothing but the word of God to step out and to believe. Okay, you want us to do it? Okay, guys, sit down. You there. Okay, you got some more going over here. That's how they were commanded to do. And that's what they did. And then they took what they could find from Jesus and they gave it to the crowds. My friends, all they had was what you and I have. The word, the command of Christ. That's the only thing that they possessed. That's the only thing they had promised them. If you do this, I'm going to provide. You and I have the word of God that says your sins are forgiven. You and I have the promise that when we close our eyelids in death, that they will be opened in the resurrection unto life everlasting. You and I have the promise of God himself that says he loves you and that we are his children. You and I have the promise of God that says you alone will never be alone, because I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be through you all with you. I'll never leave you. The word of God. That's what they had, and that's what you and I have. And Jesus, to drive the point home, tells the disciples, after the crowd had eaten their full, he says, pick up the scraps. And Jesus involved the disciples in the miracle again. He had a lesson for them. He wanted them to really learn. You remember, he'd asked how many fish and how many bread? 5 loaves, 2 fish. He blessed the food. He prayed over it. They were sitting in groups of 50s and hundreds. They went on trip after trip from Jesus out to the groups, giving them the food. Just like in the Old Testament. And everyone ate to their full, and all were satisfied. And then Jesus instructed the disciples to go and pick up all the scraps. Why? It was so they would again see that it was more food than each of them had ever started with. This miracle was burned into their brain. They saw that Jesus, the Son of God, had indeed fed these children in Israel in the wilderness, just like Moses and the children of Israel were fed in the Old Testament. And that in Jesus had said in John 6 that he was the bread of life. They saw a whole new meaning for what that meant. You see, sometimes in our lives too, God includes us in his miracles today. Even when we're suffering and exhausted by situations that surround us, the pondering of how to make it all work, how to figure it out, because he wants us to do something that we know we don't have the capacity to handle. God wants us to simply see sometimes his blessing, that he's still engaged in our life and in our world. And he wants to show us and point out to us the fingerprints of his help in our life, his answers to our prayers, his power at work in our life. Or how in deep situations that seem so dark and depressing, perhaps, how we are driven deeper into our Savior's arms and see there that he is truly our rock and our refuge, our source of strength, and the one in whom we must trust. There's a story of a mountain climber who had climbed up this high mountain, and from the very bottom, there was 1,000 feet or more that had now separated him from the rocks below where the little river was running through. And he's getting closer to the top, and it started to turn dark, but he says, I think I can just press on, and I'll get all the way to the top, and there I can rest. And then it started to storm, and he started to slip, and he finally slipped a little bit, and he fell a little bit. And he cried out to God. He said, help me. Help me, Lord. And a while later, he said it again, and then he seemed like heard an internal voice that said, let go. And he just kind of put it off. And so he hung on even tighter, and he prayed a little more. He squinted a little harder. And he said, Lord, help me. Lord, please help me. He'd been there several hours, and he still was praying that prayer, and he heard again, let go. And he just couldn't. And as the darkness is now starting to slip away, and the lights were starting to return early in the morning, he's clinging to that rock with all of his might, but his exhaustion was starting to really, really, really set in. He didn't know if he could hang on even one more. He said, Lord, please help me. And a voice said once again, let go. This time he looked below him, and with the light of day now dawning, he could see that instead of all the way down to the bottom, right below his feet, just about 2.5 feet, was a nice little ledge that he could let go. He could have slept there all night. But we're a lot like that climber, aren't we? We hang on to everything so tightly. We try to make it on our own, thinking it's all up to us. And I ask a lot of people, how are you doing? And I hear a lot of them say, hanging in there. Sometimes I'll ask, you getting tired of hanging in there? I think a lot of us are. Perhaps we need to let go and to trust the Lord Jesus Christ with some of those things and to place in his hands the problems that persist and to ask him as we let it go. Today I have put a summary into your bulletin in the sermon notes. Questions that go kind of like this. What do you have happening in your world that's too big for you to handle? I hope you'll take those questions and maybe take them home and reflect on this text and this message. What do you have happening in your world that's too big to handle? What miracles or answers to prayer have you seen in your life? Did God help you get through it? How did he show up? And finally, how do past events help you trust him more with the present and the future? And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Please join me as we make confession of our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed this day. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Lord and Savior Jesus. Alleluia, alleluia. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here with us today. Help us, O Lord, to let go of the things that keep us from trusting you. Help us to see that in faith that rests in you, that we have the victory, that nothing in this life, neither sickness or health, not even death itself, can separate us from your love. But that you have promised us life everlasting in paradise, in a place where there's no more sickness or suffering or death or dying or disease. For that we give you thanks. And you've prepared that place for us, and for that we take great comfort. Help us, O Lord, like the disciples, to be ready to serve you and to return unto you time and time again, to go out on our next mission assignment. And yet, Lord, help us also to realize you maybe have many other lessons for us to learn in the midst of our everyday activities. And like the disciples, help us keep focused on your main mission of making disciples, and to see all that we do here at church, and to see all that we do in our school is about making disciples. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested from your people.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers to you. Pray for Rashad for blessings as he gets prepared for surgery. Which leads into the next prayer. We pray for Jonathan Yaman for successful surgical rotation in Chattanooga, and now for his next rotation coming up in Gainesville, which I'm assuming would be at Shands. We pray for the family and friends that are mourning a duck boat accident in Branson, Missouri, and comfort for all those who mourn the loss of life and those who are recovering. We pray for Sue, prayers for strength while she's awaiting for tests, finding out whether she has skin cancer. And we also pray for Pastor Glander for increased strength as he recovers and heals from heart surgery. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. And now, O Lord, hear the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and we magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing.
Thank you.
Our Lord and our Savior Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had broken it, he blessed it, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Also, in the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, he blessed it, and he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always." The cup which we bless, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not the participation in the body of Christ? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. Anna, thank you for serving. The Lord bless you. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for you, Brennan. Take and drink the true blood of Christ, given unto death for you. And now may this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve in us the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Yes. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for you, the body of Christ be. Carolyn, the body of Jesus for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for you, the body of Christ for you. Clara, take and eat the true body of Jesus, given unto death for you, TJ, the body of Christ. Betty, body of Christ given unto death for you, Norma. Take and eat. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Take and eat the true body of Jesus given unto death for you, the body of Jesus for you. Take and eat the body of Christ given unto death for you. Welcome to the table of the Lord. John, take and eat the true body of Jesus. Darty, given unto death for you. Greg, the body of Jesus for you, my friend. Anita, take and eat the body of Christ. And now may this true, take and eat, take and drink, the true blood of Christ given unto death for you. May this true body and blood, and Lord, strengthen and preserve in each of you the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Hello, Princess. Lord bless you. Take and eat, Ava. The true body of Christ cease, given unto death for you. Rick, the body of Christ. John, take and eat the true body of Jesus. Given unto death for you, Bob, the body of Christ. Desiree, the body of Christ. tried to help. Sorry, I tried to help. Diane, take and eat the true body of Christ, Doug, given unto death for you, remission of all your sins, and the strengthening of your faith. Take and eat the body of Christ, given unto death for you, Bob. Connie, the body of Christ. Welcome to the table of the Lord. Carmen, take and eat. The body of Christ, Tony, given unto death for you. Wendy, take and eat. The body of Jesus, Brian. The body of Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat. The body of Jesus, given unto death for you. Remission of all your sins. The strengthening of your faith, Mike. Yes. Take and eat, Kim, the body of Christ, given unto death for you. Take and eat the true body of Christ, given unto death for you, for the remission of all your sins and the strengthening of your faith. Take and drink the true blood of Christ, given unto death for you. Now may this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus strengthen and preserve in you the true faith and the life everlasting. Amen.
God
bless you. Have seen thy salvation, thou hast prepared before the face of all people a light to light Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endureth forever.
O God, the Father and fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace.
Some announcements today, as always. Not on there? Okay. Well, you're just going to have to imagine them. I saw the pictures in my email, so you have to bear with my words. Over there is dramatic. As a reminder, this is one of those magical months of the year where we have 5 weekends. So next weekend is the fifth Sunday, which, as you probably remember if you were a regular member here, that we bring in non-perishable food items for donation. So please remember that and bring what you feel you can bring. Next Sunday, after the 11 p.m. service, there's a special voters meeting. It's for the purpose of the Campus Development Task Force presenting to the congregation a motion to consider petitioning LCEF for an improvement loan to fund the work that was identified for Trinity. Please mark your calendars to attend, and you will have more details in the weekly news. Also, Trinity is getting ready to get back to school pretty soon. I know one person out there who's probably not too thrilled to hear that. But coming up on Saturday, August 4th, there will be a campus work day to help make the campus all nice and pretty and prepared for the coming school year. From 8 until 11:30 a.m., and lunch will be provided afterwards. One thing we'll be doing is we'll be moving the library from its current location to someplace else, I don't know where.
In the Heritage Hall. Heritage Hall.
Yes, that's the name for the building, but yeah. The books are going someplace else. And, okay, well, anyway, what is their library now is going to become the school office, so lunch will be provided afterwards. There will not be childcare, so if children come, they'll need to be kind of self-sufficient and possibly helping to work. Any of you who have children in school, that's a good chance to start off getting price hours for the year. So get as many people to come as you can and help. Appreciate the help. And also, don't forget, we're collecting gift cards and school supplies this month as part of the summer camp for the long distance for the neighbors in Hawaii who were affected by the volcano. The whole Trinity family is participating, and Pastor Mark Zayer of a Christ Lutheran Church in Hilo, Hawaii, will ensure that donations go to the families that need it and that they will not be siphoned off and go to places by people not using it and taking advantage. I believe this past week at camp, they had a FaceTime with the pastor. Yes. And the students here at camp got to see and speak to him. So I believe that is about the last announcement, and therefore,
one more, and you were a part of it.
Oh.
Okay, you and my son, Jaron, wherever he's at, and Maggie Bowles were having so much fun at the family fun night, we had to close you down.
I'm used to getting kicked out of places.
And I just want to say the three of them were having so much fun at the board game called Risk that we weren't sure who was really going to win, ruling the world, but you had a lot of men on your...
Jaron was probably leading, but, you know.
We just had a lot of fun. I just want to say, 43 people came out, and we just had a lot of fun playing games and eating some food. Around boiled hot dogs and some potato chips and other goodies, we just enjoyed our time together. We're going to have some more fun like that, so hope you'll be able to join us on another one. Thanks to Darlene and Ed Sabin for all their help, and for Julia Malenki for helping organize the games and activities.
She had some very fun, interesting kid games, including where they would wear a shower cap, and one child said shaving cream covering it, and other kids would throw little cheese puff balls, see how many cheese puffs you can stick in the shaving cream, a contest between two kids. Interesting one, I never would have thought of. But she has some creative mind with the things
she comes up with. Well, God's blessings. Please join us in our final hymn. Again. Okay. Okay. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.